Okay, we're here at the Motor Show today. We've got a really special guest from the US, none other than Ricky Carmichael. Ricky, how's it going?
Well, thanks for having me. It's going really, really well. And, you know, it's 9:30 in the almost 9:30 in the morning here in the AM. So, gonna do a interview with you, and then go out to my track and do a bit of riding today. So, that's about it, man.
Well, it's nearly it's late afternoon here, and it's, guess what, it's raining in the UK.
You know what, you guys get a lot of rain. We need some of that rain here in Florida. It's extremely dry, so we've been riding on a bit of a dry track, but you know, it's nevertheless, it's good to get out there. And yeah, we're looking looking forward to coming over your guys' way here in 2 weeks.
Yeah, do you want to, obviously you've got the, everyone knows over here about the RC University hitting the UK.
Yeah.
Do you want to just go for it and tell us all about it?
Yeah, you know, I'm really looking forward to this opportunity. The past couple years, after my amateur supercross race in Daytona, we've had the Ricky Carmichael University. And basically what it is it's a one-day, it's only been a one-day event here in the States, but when we go over to the UK and the trip's so long, we want to give everyone the opportunity. We're going to make a two-day event. What we do is normally I have five instructors, myself being one, Jeff Stanton being one, Emig being one. My mother is usually an instructor. She's not going to make the trip, so we got really happy to have Tommy Searle on board to help us out this time. So what we do is basically if we have 100 riders, we split it up into riders of 20, okay, and we have five groups, and we section the track out to where we have five sections. You know, say I'll be working in the corners, Tommy will be working on the jumps, Stanton will be working on starts, and Jeff will be doing you know, whether it be a flat turn, a sweeping turn, or whatever the track conditions are, and whatever kind of obstacles they have that riders need help with.
Yeah.
That's what we do. So we spend, you know, 45 minutes time on each section with every single rider, and we talk, and myself as well. I really try to give each rider their own individual time and really help them towards their goal, and that's to be a better motorcycle rider, to ride with less difficult, and have fun at the same time. That's why we do this. We all get a motorcycle because we want to have a good time and learn how to ride. And so we want to keep learning and riding fun. That's the number one priority, and obviously keep everyone as safe as possible. And the last 2 years that we've had it here in the States, it's been a really big success.
Yep.
We've always had it on the East Coast here in Florida, like I said, at the Daytona Supercross the day after my amateur event. And we're going to do it this year in California. We had by popular demand, we had to go out to the West Coast for some of the West Coast people, and we said we want to make this thing a worldwide event, and we're like, well, let's bring it over to England. So we got up with Jamie Dobb, and Jamie Dobb contacted us and said, hey man, this thing might be pretty good. So one thing led to another, and we're gonna be at Fat Cats here in 2 weeks, and I'm really looking forward to it.
How long are you actually coming over for? Are you coming over for to attend any races, or are you just coming over to do your university, or how's it working?
Yeah, kind of a quick trip. I think we leave the States on Saturday, get in Saturday, I think, and then Sunday maybe cruise up to the track, and then do the university on Monday and Tuesday, and then Wednesday morning I have to go to France, south of France, for a Fox International sales meeting.
Right.
And,
okay.
Yeah, so they keep me busy, and then when I'm done with that, then I'll come back home to the States. So it's about a week long. It'll end up being a 6-day trip for me.
Okay. So where can they, say, if people listen to this now, where can they sign up, and what's the email address or telephone numbers they need to call?
Yeah, you can go to rickycarmichael.com.
Yeah.
There's information on that So that'd be the best place to check it out for sure.
Okay, cool. I would imagine it's going to be busy. Hopefully it's going to be sunny, and it should be a good couple of days.
You know what? We're not really either way. No matter what the conditions are, we will find a way to make sure everyone has the best time that they possibly can have. And you know, like you said, hopefully the weather cooperates. But if not, we'll do our best to make adjustments to satisfy everyone's needs. And we'll work hard. That's what we do. Obviously, that, you know, that's that was what everyone knows me for in racing, is working hard. And where there's a will, there's a way. So I'm really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to helping the people that come and attend, and just basically giving back to the sport, and also seeing my fans on the, you know, on the other, across the pond. I never, other than the Motocross of Nations, I never really got to race over there too much, and my fan base was always pretty big over there. So with the school, or the university, pardon me, you know, doing that, I'm really excited for that, but also to, you know, be in front of my fans in the UK and Europe.
Definitely. That leads on nicely to a couple of questions, really. You mentioned about coming racing in the in Europe, and obviously the British fans always remember you when you were a young teenage kid at Fox Hills in the mud, 1998.
Yep.
What was your take on that?
Well, I loved the track when I went over there. I was just disappointed at the event. Actually, I was watching it on YouTube the other day.
Yeah.
It's so cool to go on YouTube and watch these old events. For me,
yeah,
it's a great way for me to reflect and see how much the sport has grown. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, back when, and you look at Fox Hills in 1998, and that was a Motocross of Nations. We all know that's one of the biggest events in the world for motocross racing.
And, yeah,
you know, there's no hay bale covers or nothing like that, you know. So, and now you go to a race and you can't even get off the track because there's, you know, hay bale covers everywhere with large sponsors and everything like that. So, you know, I had a great time. I was just disappointed on the weather, and not only just the weather, I mean, just, it was a great racetrack. That was the most frustrating thing, that you know, that the weather turned out to be somewhat difficult. But in the end, it was a fun experience for me. I really, really did enjoy it. And the reason I liked the track and the layout. It reminded me of Gatorback,
which
that I grew up on. I won my first national on here in Florida in 1997. So it really did bring back a lot of memories for me, and I think that was one reason I had a lot of fun there.
Yeah, definitely. I was there. I took my small nephews back then. That was back in the day. But yeah, it was wet, but it was good fun.
Yeah, it really was. And actually, you know, for me, it was kind of fun because I think we, you know, practiced. The track was almost perfect, and I think actually our heat race, the track was almost perfect. I think me and Kiko might have had a little battle there. That was back in the day. I'm not exactly sure on that. I'd have to look back on some film and stuff like that. But I knew he was the guy, and yeah, I tell you, man, I did get some riding in when the track was good. So it was a good time. Also, with I think we were pitted with the Church family, and they took great care of us.
Yeah, that's cool. So this again, back in Europe again, for me and probably for a lot of the Europeans, you know, they remember you at Ernie in 2005, was it, in France?
Yes.
Yeah, and that was an amazing performance by yourself, to be honest.
Thank you.
Because everyone at that stage were like at their peak. Everett was at his peak. Tangney was, you know, outstanding, and a few other riders as well. But you pretty much destroyed everyone, really.
Yeah, that was a great year for me. We had a great time. That race was one of the funnest races I've ever been to. Always loved going to the Motocross of Nations in Europe. That just the atmosphere of that race is unbelievable. And it was so cool to see all the fans over there be so excited to see us. You know, it was weird. They were excited to see us and wanted our autographs and just were all around surrounding our pits. But then as soon as we got on the track, you know, they wanted to root for their home country, which was, I would have done the same thing.
Yeah,
you know what? I think that was a tremendously awesome event. And it was one of those tracks that just really suited my style. A lot of ruts, uphills, downhills. The terrain was very, very similar to my track here in Florida.
Yeah.
So when I got there, it was relatively easy for me. Townley gave me a little fit there, the second race, but
yeah.
You know, it wasn't nothing. I didn't have nothing really to worry about. I was just kind of doing my thing there, and I'm gonna tell you, man, that was extremely, extremely fun event. It's one of the coolest pictures I've had in my racing history is on that podium and just a sea of people in the background on that hill. But that was a fun day. And like I said, that event is just extremely cool. It's a must-see event that you have to go to. Just the vibe at that race is one like no other, for sure.
Yeah, I was there, obviously taking pictures for, I think it was Moto at the time.
I will say that you know we talk about Everts and everything, and
yeah.
Everyone always says, you know, who is better, me or Everts? But you know, it's a shame because he was just always a bit older than I was. I never really got to race him, you know, at his full prime, I would say. I think the closest I would have been able to race him when he was probably his youngest and at his prime was at Fox Hills, but I was still a young buck at that point, you know.
Yeah, that argument can go on for ever and a day, couldn't it, really? But it's a different...
Hey, you know what I say is the best way to... You know, we both were extremely successful. We both have a tremendous amount of respect for each other.
Yeah.
And we both made a great living for ourselves. And, you know, the fans had a good time watching us. And that's, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, really.
So riders you admire then, obviously, back when you were a kid growing up, who did you look at to say, yeah, that I want to be like that guy?
I respected a lot of the guys. You know, I really did, and people ask me, hey, who was your favorite guy? But I was such a fan of the racing that I had a tremendous amount of respect for all the guys out there. There were, you know, some ways and things I wanted to be like Everts, you know, and ride or do. I wanted to do certain things on the bike that he could do. You know, when I first started watching motorcycle racing, Jeff Ward, why did I want to be like Jeff Ward? Well, because he was small like me, you know. So you know, there was, I took little things from everybody and wanted to do certain things that they did. I never had one favorite guy.
Yeah.
You know, even Damon Bradshaw. I mean, he was kind of the guy who, you know, I mean, for his time, he was unbelievable. You know, he had a new style and he's just really flashy. So you wanted to be flashy like him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Did your you mentioned about your mum doing training schools. Did she train you right the way through your career then?
Yeah, she sure did. My mom was an intricate part of my success and program, without a doubt. We you know, she was the one 90% of the time would go to the track with me, and we would you know, work our program, whether it be, you know, ride motos one day, practice corners one day, whatever it might be. She was the one that was there for me all the time and helping me. My dad was always working.
Yeah.
But she was probably, you know, there 90% of the time, absolutely.
Okay, young riders now. I know you're quite fond of Ryan Villopoto's style and how he races and stuff. Are there any other sort of young riders you look at now and go, yeah, that kid's got it?
Yeah, you know, I think there's it's a great question. I think the sport on this side, at least, you know, is in really good hands. Let's take the lights class.
Yeah.
You never know who's going to win. I think they all are riding tremendously fast, and you honestly don't know who's going to win.
Yeah.
So as these guys move up, you know, that's great for the sport. I think the best thing for the sport is not to have a dominant guy.
Yeah, yeah.
To have a guy who you don't know who's going to win, because let's face it, you don't want to go to a race where you know who's going to dominate.
Yeah.
You want to go to a race who you don't know who's going to win, and it's the, you know, it's that suspense that you get. Who's going to win it today? So,
yeah.
I mean, you take a guy, guys like Barsha, Tomac has really came out of his shell this year.
Yeah.
Even Baggett on the outdoors. You know, there's a handful of guys that really are, you know, the same speed and not overly dominant.
Yeah.
So that's where I stand. You know, I think the guys that I mentioned. I mean, even let's take Roczen. Roczen's good. You know, he always sees like, you know, he's kind of in the mix there as well. So, and then you have what I would call the veterans of the sport now. Reed, obviously, I don't think he has too many years left, but you take a guy like Reed, Dungy, Villopoto.
Yeah.
I mean, when you start, you know, you got those three or four guys, and then you got the lights guys all coming up to the premier class, it's going to be unbelievable. But there, to answer your question, other than Villopoto, I don't think there's a real dominant guy, but I think that's extremely good for the sport.
Yeah, and obviously with Villopoto's injuries at the moment, what's your take on the just the amount of injuries in coming from Supercross, really?
Yeah.
Do you think there's a slight problem there with the tracks, possibly?
Yeah, you know, we go back and forth. I think it's a combination. I think that the stakes are so high, and these guys, if you're not winning, you know, then you're nothing. These guys want to win, and the 450s are so fast over here.
Yeah,
and especially on Supercross, you know, one miscalculation and you slam into the face of another jump, you know. So I just think the bottom line is you know, these bikes are so much faster that when you hit the crown, you're going faster. That's my take on it. You know, when let's say when I was racing and Edwards was racing, and you know, when McGrath and I, and you know, we were on two strokes, the mile per hour wasn't as fast. So
yeah.
When you fall down, you know, you're not going as fast.
Yeah.
So that's my take. If we make the Supercross tracks easier, you're just going to be going faster.
True.
You know,
your
speeds will be going faster, which will make it even worse. So it's a fine line. I think that the Supercross tracks, they need to make it so everyone can do just about the same thing. I think that makes it good for racing, because at the end of the day, the best guy is always going to win, no matter how hard the track is or how easy the track is. If the track's easy, then it's just going to be a little bit harder for the best guy to win, but that's what it's all about, you know? That's what it's all about, and I think a lot of it just the bikes are so fast. You know, when these guys, you know, they want to win, they twist the throttle, and when they go down, they're just going just so much faster. And you know how it is. I mean, when you wreck in a car, the faster you go, the worse it's going to be. It's the same scenario for a motorcycle. So that's my take on it.
What about your Monster Energy Cup involvement with the track design, etc.? Because that was slightly less tame, do you think?
Yeah, I think it is. I enjoy doing the Monster Energy Cup race. Obviously, for $1 million, it's awesome. But when I sit down and I scheme out the track,
yeah,
you know, I think in my mind, what will be good for the racing? What will be good for TV?
Yeah.
What will be good for the fans? Because if you make a good race for the if you make a good track for the riders,
yeah,
they're gonna like it. So they're gonna ride extra special and they're going to be more motivated to try harder, you know. And then when they do that, that makes the racing good. And when the racing's good, it's great for the fans and it's great for TV. And TV is what TV and the fans is what it's all about. That's what brings in the money, and that's what makes these guys get paid the money that they deserve to be paid for the risk that they take. So that's what I do when I sit down for the Monster Energy Cup. And it's somewhat of a hybrid track. It's not your same general Supercross track that these guys race on 17 times a year, week in and week out. And you want to make it fun for them and have some pretty cool, big jumps for the fans that the people like, because they want to see something different as well. So when we sit down and we design that, that's the thoughts that we have.
Okay. And the future for you, are you sort of looking at, I don't know, more four-wheel drop stuff, or are you going more TV, or...
I still feel like I have some unfinished business in the car side of things, without a doubt. I did fairly well on that on the car side, you know, got a couple pole positions and a bunch of top fives, a bunch of top tens, and did really good. Just, you know, my sponsor went somewhere else, so yeah. Wasn't able to continue on. But we're working hard to get something going for next year. I will always be in motocross and working on, you know, stuff like I think more of the future in motocross for me is, you know, Ricky Carmichael University, Ricky Carmichael Amateur Supercross at Daytona.
Yeah.
You know, events like that, really giving back to the sport and helping it grow. You know, doing some TV, like you said, doing that, and just going to the races and helping out, and you know, being the team advisor for Suzuki. I really like that role, and so I mean the future's bright, you know, but I'll always be doing something in motocross and supercross, regardless of what the car stuff, how that pans out. Just you know, supercross and motocross is a sport that gave me every opportunity I could ever have, so
yeah.
I'll never turn my back on it.
I think the fans are like that answer, to be honest with you.
Yeah. never ever turn my back on it. And really, you know, the university and my amateur race, that stuff has really taken a life of its own. It really has. So I think that's going to be for years to come. And just growing the work hard on growing the RC4 brand.
Excellent. Just one last thing then. Just let the listeners know again where they can get the information for the UK university school.
You can go to rickycarmichael.com. There's you know, all the stuff can navigate you and get you to the right spots to be able to sign up. It's going to be at Fat Cats, and we're really looking forward to it. I'm extremely excited about it, and I can't wait to get over there. I've got a lot of great positive feedback on my Twitter account,
yeah,
without a doubt. So I'm excited. We'll hope that the weather holds good. If not, we're still going to have a good time and try to help these riders with their goals and watch them succeed, man.
Yeah, it should be fun. Well, thanks for that, Ricky, and we'll see you at Fat Cats on. We'll probably be up there on the Sunday and see you anyway, but we'll definitely see you Monday, Tuesday.
All right, Ray. Good talking to you, my man.
Thanks for that, Ricky. See you again.
No worries. Bye-bye.
Bye.